RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
All right, it's Tuesday morning, RCR time for another Wilms Report. Tim Wilms beams in from the unshackled.net, Melbourne, Australia. Tim, great to have you back. I bet you were busy, well, almost this time last week.
Yes, Wednesday afternoon, when the results trickled through from the United States presidential election, myself and the Unshackled team, we were live for 8 hours. So it was the most epic election results live stream that I've ever done. And it certainly looked good, the results for Donald Trump early in the afternoon. But we certainly were quite on edge, given that we saw what happened in 2020 when the voting stopped and then there was that dump of votes overnight, which saw Biden switch over to the lead in all the swing states. But as the votes further came in and Trump's lead didn't diminish, it was certain that he was going to win and return to the presidency, the White House, on January the 20th. And so we concluded when he claimed victory, though it took a while for the mainstream media networks, CNN and AP News, to say we project Donald Trump will be the 47th president. It took them a bit of a while to accept it. Our mainstream media here, Channel 9 in particular, they looked like they were at some sort of a funeral.
Yeah, playing the funeral music, yeah. Okay, while all that was going on, Tim, the mis- and disinformation bill was passing through Parliament. So did that get some kind of cover from the Trump win?
It seemed that was the case. While most of Australia, their eyes were over in the US, federal Parliament was sitting last week. And so the Albanese government passed through the House of Representatives its mis- disinformation bill. Now, I told your audience previously that the Liberal and National parties belatedly announced their opposition to the bill. So it has an uncertain path through the Senate. All the teal independents voted for it. Other crossbenchers that voted against it were Di Lee, Bob Catter, Andrew Wilkie, Helen Haynes, and, well, there was one teal that voted against it, Allegra Spender in Wentworth. And
All right,
Greens, they decided to abstain. So it seems they've wavered on that one. They also announced their opposition too, because the next day, Anthony Albanese announced that his government was proceeding by the end of the year with a social media ban for under 16s. Anthony Albanese said, I'm calling time. He said, social media is doing a real life harm and I'm calling time. This one's for the mums and dads. Was an interview he did with Neil Mitchell on his 3AW podcast many months ago, where he said if he was a dictator for a day, he'd ban social media. So that was on the Thursday. And then he got agreement from the National Cabinet, or the states and territories, that 16 would be the age. Now, he has bipartisan support on this because Peter Dutton, he'd already pledged within 100 days of if he won the next election, which is next year, he'd implement a social media ban for under 16s. The polls have said this has two-thirds support amongst the Australian community because, sadly, Australians love the government being parent as well. This is why everyone was so compliant during COVID with all of the lockdowns and the mandates and the QR code check-ins. And obviously the governments, they love, because the thing is, children can't vote. So they want to send the message to the parents that we're doing everything in our power to do your job for you. And it also, it distracts from the government's own mismanagement of the economy. Trump won mainly because of cost of living, though our living standards have gone way further south than the United States. So if the government and the other politicians are talking about other things, especially this, where it's like we've got to protect the children from the scourge of social media. And of course, the irony is that Anthony Albanese announced, posted on social media channels this policy. And of course, nobody disputes that there have been children who've been harmed by social media. Yet governments across Australia banned children and young people from seeing each other during the COVID lockdowns. The only way they could communicate was with each other online. And I haven't even got to how this is going to be enforced and what platforms are covered.
Yeah, so it all sounds reasonable when you say it's safety for the kids, but really the big worry, isn't it? And I wonder how many people are talking about this in the mainstream, that it requires some sort of ID. Now, what's the definition of a social media interaction? I mean, it's obviously not saying something to yourself. What's the threshold?
Well, according to the Online Safety Act, which was passed by the Morrison government in 2021, which gave the eSafety Commissioner extra powers to take down content which was deemed to be bullying and harassing, and we've seen already how she's weaponized that power to pursue people saying political statements that she doesn't agree with, such as there's only two genders, misgendering or dead naming, she'll be getting more power under this because, well, the current definition of social media under the Online Safety Act is the sole or primary purpose of the service to enable online social interaction between two or more end users. The service allows end users to link to or interact with some or all of the other end users. The service allows end users to post material on the service. Now, the Communications Minister, Michelle Rowland, said that YouTube could be covered by this, not YouTube Kids, where all the comments are banned. And this could also extend to online gaming platforms such as Nintendo Switch, Xbox, PlayStation Network, even WhatsApp, because that is its primary purpose is online social interaction. So they claim this is not banning children from the internet. They'll still be allowed to access platforms which have educational and health benefit to them. Of course, what the government deems to be of educational and health benefit to children, that's often the most dangerous and
affirming trends.
Yeah, and groomer content. And of course, this doesn't protect, well, from what they're learning in the classroom, all of the indoctrination.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the point. They don't like, and particularly because young men voted for Trump. They heard Trump on podcasts such as Joe Rogan. And so there's this realization amongst the political class where we're losing the young men. And it's not us who are demonizing them and taking away economic prosperity, their chance of owning a home. It's because of these boogeymen like Andrew Tate spreading misogyny.
I just find him quite entertaining, actually. I mean, he uses language in a certain way, but he seems pretty onto it. I'm opening a can of worms going further on that, so I think that's all I'll say about that. So many politicians and figures around the world are in awkward situations, aren't they, Tim, because they're having to congratulate Trump, let's say, for his win. But back in the archive, you know, not so nice things said about him. So Albo's one of those, Kevin Rudd, one of those, in terms of Australia. So what has Albo said about Trump before? And he's had to congratulate him, right?
Yes, so has other world leaders who have dumped on Trump previously. So at the Splendor on the Grass Music Festival in 2017, Anthony Albanese, when he was Shadow Transport Infrastructure Minister, he said that he would deal with Trump with trepidation. He says that Trump scares the shit out of me. And I think it's of some concern the leader of the free world thinks you conduct politics through 140 characters on Twitter overnight. And Kevin Rudd, our ambassador to the United States and former Labour Prime Minister, he's now deleted it from X. He, in 2020, called Trump the most destructive president in history. He drags American democracy through the mud. He thrives on fomenting, not healing, division. He abuses Christianity, church, and Bible to justify violence, all aided and abetted by Murdoch's Fox News network in America, which feeds this.
Okay, yeah.
He put out a statement that he had now deleted that post from his X account. And so he put out a statement that said, in his previous role as the head of an independent US-based think tank, Mr. Rugg was a regular commentator on American politics. Out of respect for the office of the president, he has now removed these past commentaries from his personal website and social media channels. Ambassador Rudd looks forward to working with President Trump and his team to continue strengthening the US-Australia alliance. In the aftermath of Trump's election and return to the presidency in January, there's been a lot of talk about the future of AUKUS because, well, the first couple of subs that we get, nuclear submarines, are going to be built, the Virginia-class submarines in the United States, which Trump has already said that Mike Pompeo, his former Secretary of State, neoconservative China hawk, won't be returning. Who was a supporter of AUKUS. So there's a lot of uncertainty now because Trump is, well, rightly, America first. And he might look at this and is like, we're giving away our these submarines, to building them here and then giving them to another country. What a terrible deal.
Yeah. There's also, I mean, the more immediate thing, just going back to what Albo and Kevin Rudd have said about him, they're really on the back foot, aren't they, with those comments? It's not a good look. If I was Trump, I'd think, yeah, I'm not going to be very
nice to you. Trump was asked about Kevin Rudd's comments by Nigel Farage when he interviewed him for GB News in the middle of the year. And all these leaders should be lucky that Trump is much more forgiving and merciful than he is portrayed as, because he said about Rudd, I heard he was a little bit nasty in the past, but if he's at all hostile, then he won't be here long. So Trump is prepared to let bygones be bygones. After all, his soon-to-be Vice President J.D. Vance was reported to have told a friend in 2016 he thought Trump could be the next Hitler. Obviously, okay, if you believe that in 2024, there's no hope for you. But, of course, Vance admitted that he was completely wrong and he's going to be a loyal vice president to Donald Trump much more than Trump's previous vice president.
Pence. Okay, you mentioned the Greens before. Where they sit on AUKUS?
Well, they have been firmly against AUKUS from the beginning and have said that the election of Donald Trump is a perfect opportunity to tear up AUKUS. It's worth reading the Greens leader, Adam Bance, post when it was confirmed Trump had won. He said that President Trump will embolden hate and far-right extremism in the USA and abroad. The Greens also call on the Australian government to urgently cancel AUKUS. We must be able to make our own decisions about defence and foreign policy. We cannot be tied to a dangerous demagogue. My heart is with every person in the USA and around the world who feels justifiable terror tonight. Hold your loved ones close. Tomorrow we pick ourselves up and we continue the fight. Hate will not win. Politics does not start and end at the ballot box. It happens in our neighbourhoods, schools, workplace, homes, and on the streets every single day. Today, we should ask ourselves what we're willing to do for the change we need.
No, gosh, go cry in the corner.
The Greens, they have said that they are opposing the social media ban for teens because they...
They want to indoctrinate teens themselves into the movement, don't they? That's the perfect way to do it.
There is this alliance between the radical left and the radical right. There's a clip going viral of David Shoebridge, Greens senator, challenging Jenny McAllister, Labor senator, about that you'll have to have age verification for everyone to enforce this ban. She said, it's not age verification, it's age assurance. I don't know.
That makes it nicer.
What's the difference? So they've got some of their civil liberties streak back in them, which is pleasing. They are also motivated in part because they believe that this is a push by the legacy media because they're losing market share to the independent social media like yours is, which obviously it's great for us. But you follow the money. News Corp, they've been the biggest pusher of this banning social media for under 16. One of their main competition these days is actually a young lad, whippersnapper Leonardo Puglisi, who he's over 16 now, but he started Six News Australia when he was 12. There'd be no Six News, which puts all of the mainstream media to shame. The best news organisation is run by teenagers in Australia, so maybe they want to stop more Six Newsers.
Well, maybe they should just hire them. Okay. Ray Hadley's a well-known radio veteran, right? That's probably a way to describe him. And I've heard of him, know what he looks like. Dutton's been on with him making some comments, but also Ray's days are numbered. He's going to be retiring soon.
So yes, at the end of the year. I didn't realise he was so old at 70. So obviously when...
Hey, watch it. We're getting on about, you know.
No, well, Donald Trump is 78 and he's fighting fit. But Ray has said he wants to spend more time with his grandchildren. Of course, everyone praises these... titans of the airwaves, as they're called, when they retire. So he wasn't well liked by his colleagues. He was found to be a bully to his staff members. Peter Dutton has had a weekly segment with Ray Hadley, and in his most recent appearance, he hinted that he was going to take a leaf out of the Trump campaign and to campaign against woke. So he said, I think when I see a government that is more interested in pronouns than they are people, it starts to become a real problem. Now, the Albanese government is not woke like Kamala Harris was, and her VP, Tim Walz, Tampon Tim. Anthony Albanese said that men can't get pregnant, and he knows the definition of a woman. So that probably wouldn't be so effective in Australia. Certainly, the Dutton opposition, they're not for freedom, given that they're supporting this, well, a de facto digital ID. They are forever supporting Ukraine, and they no longer believe in free speech. In fact, proposing more hate speech laws in the name of protecting the Jewish community. So certainly the only similarity they have with the Trump campaign is to promise a return to prosperity, but obviously Dutton, as Home Affairs Minister, he was known as tough on borders and also deporting foreign criminals, which under the Albanese government, well, it was a High Court ruling last year, which allowed the release of 224 non-citizen foreign criminals. A national security risk, the High Court ruled that they couldn't be held in indefinite detention if there was no prospect of resettlement. Now, because these refugee asylum seeker lawyers, they work basically pro bono, they challenged the laws that were passed in the aftermath to regulate these non-citizen criminals and national security risks with curfews and ankle bracelets. That's found to be unconstitutional by the High Court. So this case was brought by a stateless refugee from Eritrea in Africa. It's called YBFZ. And so it announced that this violated the separation of powers. Only a court can impose these conditions, and it amounted to a form of punishment because the High Court has basically ruled that non-citizens are entitled to the same rights as every other Australian, which certainly I would think most Australians wouldn't agree with. Now, this High Court ruling was also handed down in the midst of the US presidential election campaign. I don't know if the High Court timed it that way so they'd avoid scrutiny for this decision.
You never know. Okay, there's a lot happening. Thanks for beaming in again, and good on you for that marathon effort last Wednesday. Good on you for that.
Thank you. Now, of course, my focus will be on what the Albanese government, in collaboration with the Dutton opposition, the rights that they're planning to strip away with us. So we're all back on them now.
Keep your eye on the ball. Thank you, Tim. We'll talk in a week.
Thank you, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.